Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It is 105 in Edmonton, hour number two of Oilers Now. Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott with you in the 630 Chad Studios. Second hour of Oilers Now is brought to you by Digitex. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. You can text us 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you've always wanted with Ashley Fine Floors on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, open Monday to Saturday. We are going to head off to the River Cree Resort and Casino hotline, the River Cree Resort and Casino. Excitement, bet on it, and hook up with our Oilers Now headliner today for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. We welcome back to the show a guy who made regular 130 appearances on Oilers Now for about 3.5 seasons, and then he got promoted from the head coach of the Bakersfield Condors to the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers. We welcome back a man who's very popular with the fan base, Jay Woodcroft. Hello, Jay. How you doing?
Hi, Bob. I guess that with that promotion, it means I got moved up on your show a half hour. Is that how it works?
That's right. And we can, between Don at Japanese Village.
Oh,
we got a little bit of feedback there, Jay, if you got us on speakerphone.
Okay, hold on a second here. How's that?
There we go. I think we're okay. Yes, there we're good. Between Don at Japanese Village and Brendan at Roost Chris, we can hook you up as well for moving up that extra half-hour slot. So there we go. Hey, I'm going to actually give the first question to John Shannon. I said, John, we have Jay Woodcroft coming on the show today. What's one of the question marks or questions you would have? And he said, how is the team going to replace the understated leadership that Duncan Keith provided? So, Jay, the floor is yours on that one.
Well, yeah. I mean, Duncan, his impact on our group, I thought, was profound, and not so much limited to just his play, but the things behind the scenes in the locker room, how he talked to younger players, how he shared his experiences as we moved along through the playoff run. He's going to be very much missed by everyone in our locker room. How are we going to replace it? Well, I think the team gained a lot of experience, and individuals gained a lot of experience during that playoff run. I think it's going to be Duncan's not being there will be helped by the entire group. It'll be a collective thing. That all said, I think Duncan's going to be around the team, and he'll be around so people can gain the benefit of his experiences. He can have numerous conversations with our younger players and all of our players for that matter, and continue to work that way with our people. But in terms of replacing his leadership, I don't know that you replace Duncan Keith's leadership. You just hope that the experience gained through our playoff run will help some of our younger players mature through the lessons learned by playing hockey deep into the month of June.
All right, so nothing's official yet from the Oilers on Duncan Keith, but you've sort of opened up a little bit of a window there. Obviously, something is imminent about him having some involvement in staying with the organization. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think the plan, and I don't want to speak out of turn here, but I think the plan was just to give Duncan a little bit of breathing room, after his retirement, how emotional that ceremony was, and
right,
for him,
right,
and the organization. And I thought our organization did a phenomenal job of celebrating the career of someone of Duncan's stature. But I think it was you know, to give him a little bit of breathing room. But, you know, I know that, you know, the door's open for him to be around our team and to have an impact in a different way. And he's someone, you know, as much as he is a Hall of Fame player, I think he's a Hall of Fame person as well. And as I said, his impact on our team, I felt, was profound.
Oilers head coach Jay Woodcroft. Jay, you talked about emotional. The other day, the Oilers had an availability with yourself and Connor McDavid and Zach Hyman after the passing of Ben Stelter, who, you know, sort of found a way to galvanize hockey fans in the battle for Alberta, in Edmonton and Calgary, and the LA Kings along the way, Calgary, and for that matter, Colorado as well, you know, got behind and supported Ben. He really was a special part of this past year, wasn't he?
Yeah, a true inspiration, a definition of what courage actually is. You know, I said this, I think, in that media availability. For me, I'm a father. I have young kids, and I get to see the impact that professional athletes have on young children. I thought with Ben being around the Oilers and his effect on our team, what was special for me was I got to see how a young child affected these professional athletes, and you know, whether it was coming into the dressing room and talking with some of the fellas, or taking pictures after the game, or skating to the blue line as the Scotiabank skater, you know, or, you know, joining Zach Hyman on the press conference stage, you know, you could see a young person that, as I said, he truly defined what courage was all about, and certainly he'll be sorely missed by our organization and certainly by the city.
All right, we're joined by Jay Woodcroft, Oilers head coach. Jay, since we last had you on, the organization announced that Mark Stewart was coming aboard to be an assistant. You've obviously, Dave Manson's a big part of you, and Dave spent, you know, the previous 3.5 years in Bakersfield and this past half season in Edmonton. Glenn Gullitson, with lots of NHL head coaching and assistant coaching experience, remains on the staff. What are you hoping, you know, how does Mark Stewart kind of fit into the Oilers coaching staff?
Yeah, well, I thought, first of all, I enjoy the process of bringing new people into the organization or onboarding them. I think through that process, it makes me a better coach because I get to talk to a lot of really different people from different backgrounds and talk to a lot of really learned hockey people that have different approaches to the game. So, you know, I can't hire them all, but I learn a lot in the process of how different teams are approaching things, different types of player development situations that pop up in different areas, and just how people approach it. I look at that process of onboarding someone as an opportunity to learn. And what I learned during the process of hiring Mark was the more I went through the process and the deeper I went with different coaches that wanted the job, I've really felt that I found a profile of what I was looking for. And for me, I thought, if you look at the complexion of our staff as it is, the one thing I wanted to add was another former NHL hockey player, and someone not too far removed from playing at the highest level, someone who spoke the language of today's player, someone who could relate to the pressures that today's player goes through, but not someone just, you know, immediately retired from the game, but someone who's put their time in and worked, you know, in the coaching profession and is willing, or was willing to pay their dues. I found in Mark someone who had a very good perspective on the game. He was a first round draft pick. You know, he's played in different cities and different organizations. Honest as the day is long, hardworking, very intelligent. And as I said, to me, he fit that profile of what I was looking for to round out the complexion of our staff.
Speaking of rounding things out, There's still some more. We had Ken Holland Jay on the show a week ago Monday, and the team doesn't have to technically be cap compliant until October 12th. We have some fans, well, they got to make a trade so they can sign a couple more guys. Are you still, you know, and I know you're taking care of some personal business and getting, you know, the family set up here permanently, but are you still sort of keeping an eye on what might potentially be out there in terms of maybe support and depth pieces for this hockey club right now?
Yeah, I think those conversations are ongoing amongst the management group, of which I'm, I'm privy to, and have had good conversations, obviously with Ken and with Keith and Brad Holland, and those conversations are out there. I think this is the quiet season when it comes to the hockey year. I think things kind of pick up towards the end of August, beginning of September, as teams are putting together the final touches on their training camps and who's coming and whatnot. And I think there might be some movement around the NHL late August or early September. But I think that's what you do. You make sure that you're continuing to peck away at your projects. You understand who's available, and you're in constant conversations about ways to improve your team. And I think Ken Holland does a really good job of setting that tone. And the one thing I know, and he said it on your program, but he also says it to everybody, is that we're probably a month away from rookie camp beginning, 5 weeks away from NHL training camp beginning, and almost 7 weeks from opening puck drop of the new season. So he's a patient man, and I know he's doing his homework. So, that's where we're at.
All right. So yourself and Dave Manson worked a lot with some of the Oilers' younger defensemen. Of course, Ken said last Monday that Philip Broberg would almost have to play his way off the team, just given the Duncan Keith retirement, where we're at. Sam Marukov is on a one-year deal. You've got Nima Leinen and Desharnais, players that you have a fair amount of experience with, trying to work their way up to the NHL. Is it fair to say maybe not quite the same players in terms of their cycle taking that next step in the minors to the NHL with some of the farm prospects at forward as opposed to defense? Is that an overstatement, or do you think that's fair?
No, I think that's fair. I think everybody's excited about the opportunity for these young D-men and the work that they've put in to put themselves in position to be in that conversation. I think all of them represent different skill sets, represent different ingredients. I think where they're at, like you said, where they're at in their personal cycle, how many years have been invested in them since their draft year and everything like that, they might be a little bit farther along than some forwards are, but that's okay. That's what happens in the natural course of events in an NHL organization. But I can tell you that everybody's excited about watching these, they're not fresh faced anymore, but these younger guys try and battle it out for an NHL opportunity.
You played Cody Ceci a lot with Darnell Nurse. You had Keith with Bouchard. And I thought Barry's best hockey of the year was played with Brett Kulak. How many times have you discussed with Dave Manson maybe how your top six, if everybody's healthy, would look to start the season?
Yeah, we've talked about it a lot. We think there's a lot of really good options there. I think we talked earlier in the interview about, Duncan retiring. And so that opens up opportunity. That opens up playing time. How it shakes out, I think those things are decided in training camp. I think the training camp is the time of year to maybe experiment a little bit and see who fits with who. We've always maintained that, we might have a starting point on something, but we want to make sure that we're light on our feet, that we're using our eyes, and that we give situations enough time to develop, that we have patience to let things play themselves out. But ultimately, in the end, I think the players, through their play, show you what the best combinations are, and it's our job to make sure that we're paying attention.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're joined by Oilers head coach Jay Woodcroft. He's our Oilers Now headliner today for Wilhauk beef jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. All right, Jay, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Would you hesitate at all putting two relatively inexperienced defensemen, both first-round picks for the team, Philip Broberg, together with Evan Bouchard, because that would enable you to keep the other two pairings as was throughout the course of the playoffs? Or would you think maybe you wouldn't want to have Broberg with more of a more experienced option?
Yeah, I think those conversations are still to be had and worked through heading into training camp. I would be remiss to pigeonhole anybody or limit anybody's opportunity to move up the lineup or whatnot. I think. You asked the question of would I hesitate? I know both of those players. I've seen them at the American League level and the National Hockey League level. Dave Manson has seen them. We're quite aware of what their strengths and capabilities are. We're going to try and work that through in training camp and ultimately put players in the best positions they can to have success, not only personally, but for us to have team success. I think that stuff plays itself out. There might be times where we experiment with a pairing that looks like that. We'll see. We'll let it play out in training camp.
Well, we're going to play the same game at forward, but it might be an easier answer for you. Okay, you might actually be able to give me a. You're being very, very deaf, but you can be a politician on this. And that's Ryan McLeod spent some time in a perfect world. Is it fair to say you'd have Connor and Leon as each centering a line in a perfect world? Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. And you're going to ask me about Ryan, the both Ryans, I would imagine.
Yes.
And for me, what Ryan McLeod displayed down the stretch and into the playoffs is that he was capable of handling more. He showed that. And we utilized him in different fashions. Whether he lined up as a fourth line center and ended up playing some shifts on the wing, or he garnered more ice time on the penalty kill or the power play, he forced our hand to give him more because he showed an ability to handle that. I think when you have the quality of centermen that we have, you mentioned Connor and Leon, but also with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is a very good center. Ryan McLeod's a very good center. I think what that does is that allows you a way to move pieces around the chessboard to make sure people are getting enough. Sometimes that might mean players play, their second position rather than their first position. But I believe that good players want to play with good players, and they have the ability to make it work. I also believe that centermen have that ability that where they can play anywhere. And, those are two good options for us to go into that third center position, so to speak, behind Connor and Leon. But I think it's a real strength of our team when you have the ability to move those chess pieces around. And I think both Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Ryan McLeod are versatile enough that they could play anywhere in the lineup.
Jared has texted us on the Ashley Fine Flores text line. He goes, speaking of Draisaitl, Jay, because we know you're in contact with these guys, are both Draisaitl and Darnell expected to be 100% for training camp?
You know what? I had breakfast with Darnell Nurse in Toronto last week. He seemed to be in good spirits. He had just come through
getting married.
Yeah, getting married. And he's working hard up in Aurora with the Gary Roberts group. He's skating. He's progressing. I didn't ask him if he's 95% or 100%, okay. But I think he feels good in where he's at in heading into our NHL training camp in 5 weeks. That's the impression that I got. I believe that Leon is healing along the same lines, that he's progressing. He's, you know, those guys are workaholics in the gym, and they're both on the ice. So I would expect to have both of them fully healthy for the start of training camp. That's my expectation.
And a final curveball for you, Jay.
Sure.
Look, you were prepared for this. You touched all the bases on your way up. You have an appreciation for support roles. You've brought in a second video coach as an example and that sort of thing. Was there anything that surprised you when you transitioned from American Hockey League head coach to NHL head coach? Anything about the experience that maybe you underestimated? And again, you're not an arrogant, cocky guy. We know that. You're prepared for it. But was there anything that sort of, you know, I didn't realize it was quite like this along the way?
That is a good curveball, Bob. I wasn't expecting that question, but that's a fair question. I would say, for me, I'd been around the NHL long enough, over 1,000 games in various jobs, and I knew what the pace of the schedule was. But I think last year it was unique based on all of the COVID rescheduled games. And if you remember, I think when, you know, we came up, it was around February 10th, there was like 5 games in 7 nights, 7 games in 9 nights. And it was, you're touching every part of the continent.
Yep.
So for me, it wasn't as much, you know, I was surprised by something, but the pace of what we had before us in terms of our challenge was very challenging. The no practice because of all the COVID rescheduled games made it a real tough task to implement stuff. I thought there's things that I learned along the way about our team and how they respond to certain types of stimulus. So I'm not so much surprised as I was, you know, put into a situation where I was experiencing something new. That was also the first time that I've been put in a situation to come in halfway through something.
Right.
So, you know, there was a lot of thought into decisions that were made. Some decisions were turned out to be right. Some decisions, you know, you want to have back. But that's the way it goes, and you learn from it. And I know that experience last year, I'm very thankful for. But I've also spent good part of the summer thinking and reflecting and trying to learn the lessons from that experience to make us better as we head into a new season.
Jay, appreciate the time. Thanks for catching up with us, and we'll touch base in a few weeks.
Thanks, Bob. Have a great day.
You bet. That is Jay Woodcroft. He is the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers. Our friends at Brent Ridge Ford want you to know they're currently stocked with pre-owned Jeeps, Honda CR-V, Toyota RAV4, Hyundai Santa Fe, and options from Chevy, GMC, and Buick. Of course, at Brent Ridge Ford, they boast a selection of quality Ford products for sale. Brent Ridge Ford is your Ford truck authority on the Auto Mile in Wetaskiwin. You can reach out to Uncle Milt Rich, Johnny and the Gang, 1-877-477-3673. And remember, cars cost less in Wetaskiwin. 128 in Edmonton, off to a Global News weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. When we come back, the president and CEO of the American Hockey League, he's the former two-time assistant general manager of the Edmonton Oilers. He was GM in Columbus as well. Scott Housen, when we return in Oilers Now.